Dumelang and welcome to the Sowetan Life podcast. Today, we'll be discussing some of the topics swimming around in youth conversations these days, the funny, the dark, and the secret thoughts. My name is Gwena Mashale and I'm your host today. I'm a journalist at the Sowetan Life and I'm joined by my colleagues Hemen Molloy and Nandi Ntini. So, guys, obviously, we just came back from a nice, eventful night. We just watched Bafana Bafana take down Zimbabwe. And obviously, there was a new character on the field, 19-year-old Relebogile Mofokeng. He was a Orlando Pirates winger. So, what are your thoughts on that, guys?
Okay, for me, it's very important that we are being recognized as young people. Mm. We are given the space and the platform. And you can see even his effort in Orlando Pirates. He's a good player, discipline, and yeah, it's really great to see someone younger than you or your age playing for the national team. I mean,
it's big.
And he's lucky because the audience was there, the vibe was there. You had fans, unlike past matches we have observed that in the past matches the turnout was not that good. They were playing the chairs were the ones looking at the games, but yesterday we really experienced the love of football in South Africa, and yeah, it's amazing. He played well, everyone played well in South Africa. And hopefully we are going to America for the World Cup. Yeah, that's my take. I mean, it was wonderful.
I think I understand what you mean in terms of like Vele Vele. It was a big deal for everyone. You know, Bloemfontein was packed. I mean, it was a raw, full place. But at the same time, it's like, He's so young.
And we never have such players, young players, always have U30 upwards. And I really feel like it's time for the youth to be given that space, mostly in sports. Because you see in township, you just only see them playing in the grounds. No one is taking them serious. But this is going to bring a lot of light to also a 15-year-old who was watching the match yesterday. So it's a great move.
I think it also speaks a lot in terms of the arts and culture in the country. Yeah. I mean, you always hear the youth always complaining, no, you don't take us seriously until we only make it big, you know? Like, I mean, if we look it back to Tyler when she came back with the Grammy and... And she denied Uzizi got that role.
No, don't say that.
Big thing. Everybody was like, yeah, Vele, I'm Nisha. Because why must he hold something that he never really helped in her achieving? Which is really, really like a conversation, a topic in terms of people, the youth in South Africa. We are constantly like... asking people, please help us, please help us here. Who MT, who ABC.
It's the same thing over and over again.
Unandi mentioned something very important, that this is a motivation for us. I mean, in school, as we were in primary, there were sports. And then as we reached high school, there was no sport. And then it was, okay, we started dating. But then we needed a motivation that, guys, this is happening. I mean, the event of yesterday could have been a norm to us if we had that department caring for us. But then I think it's our government to blame also, because they are not there. I mean, they are not funding, they are not motivating us to go and play soccer. Yeah. Because, I mean, we can't all be in corporate world. We also need players. Yes. Mm-hmm. So Onandi mentioned very something important, that we should consider going back and supporting this teams, young teams from the community. I know, shout out to Bachukada. He has a club, I think, in Bloemfontein. Hence you saw the turnout, because people in Bloemfontein really, really love football. You saw even when Bloemfontein Celtic was being sold, everyone was head in Bloemfontein.
Yeah, and we should not focus on rugby only.
Only, because it seems like it's the only important sport.
Exactly. So now you mentioned something so nicely. You're like, not everybody is in corporate and not everybody is doing as a staff, right? My thing is that do you think we're even prepared for those type of jobs when we're in high school? I mean, we're in high school, we're taught to do trigonometry and Pythagoras. But outside, when we come outside, you need to know how to do your taxes. You need to know how to do business. You need to be in a mentality that there might not even be a job for you outside.
Yeah, I think that also is a problem. Because when I went out of high school, I really felt like I'm going to need history. I'm going to need business, but only to find out that I want to do journalism. Mm. And there was no track record in terms of this is what you need to do. This is how we are going to help you through your career. So it's always also those trigonometry. And you have to do science. Mm. And if you don't do that, then
there's nothing for you
in the world. Mm. And I think we get discouraged in terms of that. Mm. Then you find people dropping out because science is hard. We don't understand maths. So you repeat grade 11 twice and you're like, okay, changing a stream is...
And not even repeating grade 11 twice. You go out of high school, then you just find out, Hore, there's not really nothing. You don't even know what to do. And, you know, the availability, some people go through that space and time where it's like, okay, I need to figure out what to do. But at the same time, are we in an economy that allows you to have that time for you to figure out what to do? Because you can't waste 1 year. 1 year, it's gone. And then somehow, somewhere, you go to a job interview, then they ask you, what were you doing in that 1 year?
And even with the varsities, I think their first preference is those who are fresh from high school.
Yes.
So they can't take you if you took a gap year, as we label it. And again, I think career day is very important in high school. I know in primary it's a big deal, but then in high school I don't think we really take it to account.
No, it's not. We don't.
Even when the teachers are trying, some schools try to have career days, but then we as young people, we feel like I'm old enough for this thing. I'm gonna wear my shirt, my black trouser and go. You forget that what you're doing is actually a motivation. You're motivating yourself. So I think we should also I support Musima Imani in terms of education. We really need a change in our education system.
I mean, that has been a debate that has been ongoing for years. Yeah. Well, there is need for a debate in our education system. I mean, you have these, most schools will have those university visits where multiple universities would come to the school to advertise.
We can't always blame Mom Age.
We can't blame Mom Age, and she does it. She allows that. But not all schools have that privilege for universities to come and to them. Because for example, my high school, Vele Vele, they were all there. University, Vits, UJ, they were all there. But I know in Limpopo, there was no such a thing. They didn't come. Yeah. And University of Limpopo, the faculty, not downplaying it, but you know. So I think it does start from the young age where we need to be prepared mentally in terms of outside of the school structure. What can I actually do? Because as one, you know, you have those three limitations: accountant, doctor, and business.
I want to be a lawyer.
And that's literally all. And it's literally a corporate job. Yeah. And some of us don't want to be in corporate job. Some people want to be DJs, by the way.
don't mention many it because DJs someone was out. Being...
there
was an unleash on someone today.
She started DJing recently, actually. I forgot her name. What's the
Tando Ngobo,
I think we all know her. She decided, I think the last time we heard about Tando, she said that she does homeschooling.
Yeah.
But now she's trying to be
DJ. Oh, wow.
So now obviously there's a lot of controversy in that universe where as Batong, she's now dropping out of school and focusing on DJing, but people are like, but it's still a career at the end of the day, and she's still making money. Because thinking Vele Vele, it's not like she is making money some sort of way through TikTok and through Instagram, which also brings me to my next question.
Okay.
What other ways are there for making money for the youth? Because I see a lot of people coming up with so many business ideas. I mean, you have your confessions page, Confessions ZA. I'm not sure if you guys know that one.
I randomly see it popping on my timeline.
There's the Confessions ZA. There's the There's your DJing. Mm-hmm. There's people who are selling your hats. Your people who are selling wigs. Mm-hmm. People are doing many things, and they're innovative. And their main focus is getting that bag. Mm-hmm. So now my thing is, are we all like that, guys? You know how people are like, Nashem, I will try to do it. Maramudimu akan ruta lesson.
You know, it goes back to the issue of social grant.
Mm.
I think we need a change in the system. I think, for instance, if I'm not going to pop a name, but then I know a lady who's unemployed but continues to make babies because she relies on SASSA grant.
Mm.
Yeah. So some people depend on grant, which is a bombshell or it stuck your mind. You can't think of something. You can't think of anything innovative just to earn money. You say, I'll wait for 350. I'll wait for Isasa Yabantwana. So I think we need a government that cares for young people. The government that will say, okay, we are investing. We are investing in this. And then we need so many people to come.
Yeah.
This is the end product. This is the process.
Mm.
I mean, last time when we were doing elections and we were asking people, why are you going to vote? Someone said, I wish the next government could at least have insurance for us so that when there's pandemics, we know that we are secure. So I think also government needs to play a role in motivating. We spoke about motivation when it started. So it all takes from motivation and moving forward. It becomes simple.
I mean, you said a great thing in terms of especially SASSA grants. I think a lot of people are really, really dependent on them. And it's come to a point where even just that by the threat of removing SASSA grant, it causes such a big amongst people.
Yeah.
But at the same time, does that not also show you the problems that we have in South Africa, that it's either SASSA grant or you are suffering or you are poor or you literally do not have any other sustainability besides going out there and panda push up play.
Yeah, I think that is also the contributing factor.
Mm.
The fact that you are sitting at home, you are bored with your partner. Mm. The main source of income is maybe let's try a little one.
Mm.
We know we can have our 550 pounds. You know, every year it's 10 rands extra, 10 rands extra. And then with the two of us, we get 350.
Mm.
So that at least will make us have something every month as a family.
Mm.
But also, it goes to affect Chukuti as young people. We are bored.
Yes, I think that is definitely true. We are definitely bored, and we get bored in the most snacks way. I mean, you literally see people having, like you said, we get bored and we're like, nah. Let's do the things, man. It's cold. As Tangani say, you know, and then jiggy. Next thing you know, somebody has three partners.
But I'm not judging anyone, but I'm worried. When I get into the store, when I check the price, I get confused to say, hey, do I really need this thing? Food. Like, literally food. Like, I'm like watching 5 kg Yahweh Star. Like, really, do I need to eat? Nah, I'll eat tomorrow.
Imagine, and then you have to think of a baby.
And you have to think about the pampers. And I'm worried. I'm not judging anyone who's doing it, but then, guys, let's be considerate.
Yeah, let's also think for ourselves as well. You can see the economy and see the prices and be like, okay, let me bring another human who's going to live the same way that you're living. Yeah. It's not fair.
Yeah, but being on the topic of babies and all that, let's come back to sexual orientation, guys. Like I said, we get bored in the most snacks ways as the youth, and it gets to a point where, I don't know if you guys have seen the trend on TikTok where they would be playing this song by what's the guy's name? Sean Paul. And it's like, I've been playing it in my head the whole time, but literally the tagline will always be, while me going to Cape Town with my side man, while my main man is at home busy texting me, I hope you get well. And it's like, I feel like we've become such a youth that is so used to idolizing sex that we don't really realize the consequences of it. I mean, there are people who genuinely like, guys, I'm somebody who strongly believes in the ties, so like soul ties, right? Mm-hmm. So you are constantly hopping from one person to one person to another person, mm-hmm. just to literally, I don't know, kings. It's either satisfaction, pleasure, money, mm. or some other type of gain at the end of the day. And some people who genuinely do look for love, but like that's like 1%. That's like the 1% who is there for love. But at the same time, guys,
I think we have normalized cheating, and also we are obsessed with having money, with having mm. items. Mm. So hence you see you mentioned that someone will go to Cape Town while living their partner. So it's always about that thing, you know, I want a story. My Instagram needs to look good. Yeah. So it's always an issue of what people see in me, not about morals, respect for me. You see, I guess, that's the challenge with us young people. I believe we are living for the moment.
Mm. Yeah, I was about to go on that point, because we are like, there's no 3 years from now in our mind. It's like, and as funuk jelwa in that way.
Yeah.
It's like, this is my time, this is my youth, I'm gonna do this. And
Or like that, you know, that normal slogan, Hore, don't let your current girlfriend stop you from finding your wife.
Yeah. In that
I mean, what is that? It's very, very bad. You literally get people who genuinely, like, there's no focus, like you guys saying, Hore, we're always focusing on the moment. But guys, at the end of the day, like, let's be serious. No, let's buy land. Let's build a business. I mean, you have literally 19-year-old
but
then how do you buy land when you don't know who owns the land? I mean, here in Parliament, they say land expropriation.
That's true. And you know what's funny, Ness? Speaking of Parliament, guys, do you know apparently there's a 20-year-old that's going to go into Parliament? What does a 20-year-old, in your view, know about Parliament?
I mean, the idea is good, ne? In terms of, we saw what Malema did when he put young people in Parliament. Although we can debate about the nature of the way they raise things, but they speak about things that affect us. Hence, they managed to get more votes in universities because they know Uthi Malema is for us. So I think she will represent us well. But then again, it is that thing, you know, how much does she know? I'm not judging her. I've not met her. But then I hope wherever she is, she's skilled enough and she can raise that point of order and she make can sense.
And also the people that are advising her. Do they know? And also so that she doesn't get overpowered, because she's like the only young person. You know how old people will always tell you.
And they will tell you, Hore, hey, you're 2 years.
That
time they are sleeping in Parliament.
And shout out to Gaten for.
I mean, that is a very point, you know.
It shows that we are capable. And I mean, we're black, we are fresh. So why not?
Can happen? What must happen? You know, things can really change.
Yeah.
But now my question now is just going to be that, in terms of things that are changing, right? We are constantly in a world that is constantly changing, moving around. And it's very hard to keep up pace with things that are changing, things that are moving. Coming into a space, for example, YouTube, when you came into journalism, was it what you expected?
Yeah, so coming into journalism, it was different, because I studied it. Yes, I knew how to know the basics with practical work. But before I actually became a journalist, I had to do a learnership at Coke. So it was another different thing. So I just came to journalism like, okay, let me find my passion. But it was a total different thing. So when I got there, you have to start going, be out there. I'm not a really outdoor person. Now I have to move away from my safe space and my comfort zone, which may have kind of triggered some of the things and maybe brought me social anxiety a bit, because I have to be adaptable to people now. And some people would not understand, because they're like, you're a journalist, why are you so quiet? Like, bruh, I'm also Nandi before I'm a journalist.
Exactly.
So what do you expect me to do? But I'm slowly finding myself, and hopefully I'll.
With me, it's quite different. Because before I went to high school, I used to read Daily Sun for my father. And then I fell in love with journalism, composing a story, finding, breaking it down to someone who has not read the story.
Yeah.
And then when I got to high school, I was in the class of a student. So the only way to adapt in that class was at least speak about something outside school. So fortunately, I had two friends, the one who loved EFF and the other one loved ANC. And then our conversation, our morning debates will lead to us breaking things. And that's when you get to watch Vuyo. I'm not sure if you grew up watching
life.
Him. Morning Live. Yeah, so it was that thing. Hey, Joe, I have to wake up. I have to watch the news because at school, I have to be on my A point. I have to prove. So the more you speak to your classmate, the more you get used to people. So when I went, when I completed my matric, I was already having that confidence. I was also shy. I know I used to shake a lot. I used to cry a lot. But then now I feel safe. I feel comfortable. I can go around. I can meet people. I can make stories. Yeah, it's that. For me, journalism, it's what I expected, and and more.
And I think it's a job that is forever changing. And it's a job that requires adapting, like a lot of adapting. And I think a lot of jobs actually do that. You know, there's a lot of jobs that require you to adapt to that environment and probably sometimes even change, right? So my problem is, not even a problem, it's a conversation that actually I had with a friend of mine yesterday. And we were discussing different types of jobs and whether or not you would stay in those type of environments or would leave, right? And whether the bare minimum is even enough for you to stay just because you're getting paid, you know? For example, I was listening to this woman on 702. She says she left a toxic environment, right? Because it was so bad. And she's in her youth. She says she's 20, she's 23. She's in her youth. And she was, it was just so stressful for her. And she was, but she was earning nicely. It was just that it was too toxic. And then she decided to leave. And all her, everybody, her friends, her mothers and her parents were like, do not leave. But she's like, my health, my mental health comes first. I'm leaving. So, but I was raised in a household where, regardless of whether or not your mental health is suffering, you must go to work. You wake up in the morning, you must go to work. And I think what I've come to find, Hore, in this generation, in this actually now, is that we actually do value our mental health to a point where we say,
that's what I love about that.
I'm leaving.
And then, like, it just,
it makes you really, really wonder, Hore, are there actually other people out there in our youth and time who say, I'm not doing this. Bye bye, deuces. Like, what is your point in terms of what are your thoughts on that?
Honestly, I think it's a great idea to know what you stand for, basically, and know when to walk away. I mean, mental health is very important.
I mean, but yes,
we can all be in.
But yes, I get that. But my question is in our unemployment rate.
Yeah.
Does mental health really now matter?
But then if you are if you are employed and you have mental health problems, I mean, you're not gonna deliver. So what's the point?
What's the use?
I mean, yes,
and you're gonna be fired, and that's a bad track record, you see. So I think for us to take mental health serious, it's very great. Because it helps you. I mean, if you feel good, you do good. So if you're not feeling good, you're just going to office because you have to. So yeah, get in check, get your mental health right, do your work, enjoy. And if you need a break, I'm not going to support sending in resignation letters because I mean about 70, I might not be on the exact percentage, but about 60 to 70 of young people are unemployed. So it shows that it's very bad. So you can't, if you are lucky and you're fortunate, you can't just walk away.
Because there are people out there who desperately need it.
And also the people who are depending on you as well at home.
And it's actually amazing for the fact that we, at our age, we are sending money home.
I feel proud. Such a big responsibility though. Because you have ugogo, umama, sister and brother, and they're depending all on that one salary that you are bringing in. And you are just 23 years old. You are literally just 23 years old, and you see your friends on social media. They are posting champagne, shampoo for Savannah. They're having fun, you know. And yet, you must send home at least every day 5,000. It's like
it's a responsibility which I'm proud of.
I'd say that as well.
I mean, watching where we come from. Like where I come from. So sending money back, it's just guys, thank you. I've achieved things. So because I mean my life was not that bad compared to what I hear from people, because I have this one friend who was telling me that they had to walk some distance to school. Fortunately for me, I was using transport, so it was bad, but not that bad.
Not that bad, yeah.
But then giving back to the parents is actually good. I mean, I don't know, but I have to ask you this thing. So I used years back, I used to have this friend of mine who was working as a what do you call it, battle girls, and then she used the money to help her family. So is it a good thing that whatever way you get money, as long as you're sending at home, is it a good thing? We have to ask about morality and everything from your point of view, obviously.
And then you look at the unemployment rate, and you find that other girls who are actually bottle girls, how they spend their money. So I would actually applaud her for actually sending money home, knowing, like, for her to remember that, okay, I see these beautiful girls, I have to match up their standard. But I'm remembering she's cognizant of where she comes from. So I just have to applaud her for that.
Was raised by strict parents. Because it just gives you a background where she knows where she comes from. She knows who needs the money, and it's all about the importance of it. And regardless of what she's doing, because there are many jobs out there that are very not to be proud of, but if they're doing what they're supposed to be doing.
And we need to put on record, we're not judging anyone who's doing anything.
Yes, we're not judging.
Yeah, but so basically just to understand and wrap it up, guys. Youth Month, we know how valuable we have so many holidays in the country. Like, I can't even keep up with them. But my understanding is that when it comes to especially like Youth Day, and you have people who are like, how are you going to celebrate Youth Day? Me, but the first thing comes to my mind, I'm going to watch Sarafina. I'm going to watch Sarafina, and I'm going to end it there. Sarafina in my own bedroom. So now my question is, guys, but like, does Youth Day still hold the same significance it had when Hector Peterson was being held in the arms and being literally not paraded, but it was a matter of, oh my gosh, see the significance of this day. Does that still hold the same today with the high unemployment rate, with the high crime rate, with the many high rates
and the bad rates
that we have? Does Youth Day still feel worth celebrating?
Well, on my side, in Soweto, I don't, Like last year, I remember last year, I even forgot that it was Youth Day.
Yeah.
The only time I remember was because I'm a journalist and I had to go cover stories. Yeah. And you find kids, they were doing something of basketball clinics.
Yeah.
That was the only significant thing that was actually happening.
Mm.
But in terms of us young people celebrating the day, it's either we get our savannas and chill, and then and the day goes on. It's just another holiday.
Mm.
But then it's actually disappointing that you mentioned in Soweto. I mean, Soweto.
Exactly.
It's that area whereby, you know, we it's could have gotten the memorandum. I think, again, we didn't get the memorandum on how we must celebrate these days.
Mm.
So if someone had showed us memorandum, because, I mean, I'll be sleeping the whole day and my mom will say, hey, this day, oh, now we used to do this. But then, I mean, I can't go and protest to say I don't want Africans. Africans is part of the 11 languages, and it's not a medium of instruction. But then I think we need to honor the icons.
Mm-hmm.
We need to honor them. I don't know how. I'm still figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we need to honor them because they have played a huge role in our democracy. Mm. Again, we have to play.
And it's not only Nelson Mandela that played a huge role in our democracy.
Yeah, but then how do we celebrate it? It's a question. How do you celebrate?
I think that's a question that will always be.
I think I think let's post it on our social media and hear how
how do you celebrate?
Because honestly, the only thing I know is that I have to watch Sarafina
and I go to sleep
and listen to someone talk about the good old days and then call it a day.
And I mean, we are 20 something. We've been hearing about Hector Peterson. I'm sure you know the whole story. So it can't be that thing every day you need to go somewhere and listen to someone to lecture you, give you a lecture about Hector Peterson. We need to find a way to celebrate the historic days. I don't know how. Someone needs to give us the memorandum, hey?
Because they should also stop guilt-tripping us. They should stop guilt-tripping us.
Guilt-tripping will forever be installed in this history, my sister. It's not something new. But thank you guys so much for commenting on this on the sunny day. Well, not sunny, but cold. But
yes.
Thank you for being with me and joining me in this conversation. And I hope you guys can catch this conversation on our Sweden Live podcast, especially on our site. And shout out to the other publications that we are in coalition with. That we're in coalition with, and we'll catch you next time. Thank you. I'm your host, Kwena Mashale, and I was joined by Herman and Nandi. Thank you so much.